Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here today to talk about the Engage CNY Cultural Plan for our community. It's an important part of our community's vitality, and I know we're going to learn a lot this morning. First, I want to give you a heads up again. Next week, we will be switching over and starting to talk about electoral issues, and in particular, we'll be talking, among other things, I think, about a proposition that's going to be on the ballot having to do with redistricting. So if you know of anyone who has a particular interest in that, you know, one way or the other, please do invite them to come and or to listen and be part of the discussion for that issue. And then, as you know, the following 2 weeks, we'll be talking to candidates first for the county sheriff and then for the 24th congressional district. Also, congratulations to one of our TMR members. You might have read that Mercy Works is going to be doing a groundbreaking ceremony on Tuesday, October 14th, for the Clarence Jordan Vision Center. Congratulations, Jordan. We've heard a lot about, and I think in the future we need to hear more about what Mercy Works and other groups in the community have been doing, in particular with youth and having to do with employment. So again, that groundbreaking at 1221 South Salina is on Tuesday. So right now, it's my pleasure to introduce today's panel, Steve Butler. Steve has been with us before. Steve is the executive director of CNY Arts. We might know it from the past as the Cultural Resources Council in part. Jeff Woodward, managing director of Syracuse Stage. Carol Eaton, vice president of marketing at the Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau. And Barbara Bartlett, director of the Lorenzo Historic Site in Casanova. And Steve is going to get us started, right?
Thank you, Sandra.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. So we're here today to talk about Engage CNY, which was a regional assessment of six counties in central New York. And I'm joined by Carol Eaton, the vice president of marketing from the Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau. Jeff Woodward, the managing director of Syracuse Stage, and Barb Bartlett, the director of Lorenzo State Historic Park, who all participated in one way or another in the Engage process. So the purpose of Engage was to build, or is to build, CNY's cultural vitality and continuity, and strive to see that creativity is positively impacting on the region's livability and prosperity. And why did CNY Arts undertake that? As some of you know, but maybe some of you don't, CNY Arts is a regional arts council. We have contracts with the state of New York to serve six counties, Onondaga, Oswego, Cortland, Madison, Herkimer, and Oneida. In many ways, our core business of ours is re-granting funds. We give out over $1 million a year, much of it in Onondaga County, but also in these other counties. And the state of New York came to us and said, you know, would you pick up some new territory, which has ended up being 5,500 square miles and serving 1.1 million people, as the Regional Arts Council. And arts councils can be thought of as service organizations or even functioning a little bit as trade associations. Setting the stage for getting into Engage, there were some things going on. Number one, the state had asked us to pick up these new counties. Number two, we were already involved in a project called Ideas, the Initiative to Develop and Engage Audiences in Syracuse. And through that project, we had created a social marketing system that we believed could be deployed regionally to the benefit of both those that provide cultural offerings and those who are looking for cultural offerings, if that's what these new communities we were serving wanted. We really didn't know, which was the other point of doing the assessment. if you're going to serve six counties, you should really know what's going on in each county. They're very different. Each locality is very different, and we really we didn't want to just throw darts at the wall and see what stuck. We wanted to really be thoughtful about this. Through ideas, we had a significant pot of funding. And then with the initiative called the Regional Economic Development Council grants, we actually were able to leverage those ideas funds to get grants from the state through the Regional Economic Development Council to do this ENGAGE study. So the funders that were involved in that were the Community Foundation and Gifford. There was a group of these local foundations pooling funds for ideas, which we then leveraged with the regional council to now look at all six of these counties. Now this seems to have...
There we go.
Oh, well, I think we're going to fly through that anyway, I think. Okay. So we started with four basic questions in our minds that we are going to explore. What cultural activities do residents and visitors want? What resources exist to respond to those wants? How might the cultural sector play a greater role in boosting the region's vitality? And what will successful regional cultural development require in terms of infrastructure and sustainability? I want to just talk a little bit about our universe. We, in the ENGAGE process, was in many ways an opinion poll. We called it an arts and entertainment survey. We did that because we wanted people who, when you say, would you take an art survey, they go, art is a big concert hall, someone in a tuxedo playing the violin, I don't participate. But they do go to the local watering hole and hear the local band almost every Saturday. That is art. But people often sort of don't see it that way. They think they, when they hear art and culture, they think it's more refined. We were really looking to get a very broad base from of responses from the general public. So in addition to the online survey, we also translated the survey into Spanish. We had hard copies. We went to regional markets. We went to the state fair. We went to a lot of different places to ensure that we were getting a breadth of responses from a variety of populations. We did not ask stakeholders, those who run arts agencies, particularly to put the survey out to their audience. We certainly wanted to capture that data, but in many ways we know what the arts and culture audiences think and feel. We really wanted to hear from a lot of other people. In addition to the surveys, we also held focus groups. Over 500 participated. And once we had a lot of information, we held a huge regional summit at the airport with over 121 leaders from our various communities in the six counties to look at the data and help us to determine what they believe were the right priorities. And this next slide just kind of points out to us what the census says our community looks like in terms of ethnicity, age, education, and income. And we were really striving to hit a decent percentage in each of these criteria, each of these, you know, characteristics, so that we felt the response was well represented. I will also tell you that getting over 7,000 general public responses to an art survey is pretty amazing. And that in itself spoke to the high level of interest in arts and culture in our region. I'll put it in perspective, the National Endowment for the Arts does a national study. Across the nation, they get on average about 36,000 responses. We get 7,000 in six counties in New York State. So what did we learn? Well, as you might imagine, in terms of demand, there's actually a very high appreciation for arts and culture. There's a big appetite for it. Consumers are actively participating in arts and culture, and they take a lot of pride in it. There's a lot of community vitality around culture. And people define arts and culture much broader than you might think in participating in non-traditional venues. Over here, this little a map of the six counties that we surveyed, you can see different colors, red, orange, and yellow. While we were doing our work, we had a research team who was working with Experian data, all of that data that you probably don't want to know that they know about us through our credit card purchases and other things. And we were able to put together this map that showed high demand, moderate demand, and weak demand. And basically, out of about 500,000 households, there was high demand in about 98,000 of them. And these are the households that will go to everything. You don't have to advertise. They're going to find it. They're going to go to it. They'll go to everything. The orange was sort of the moderate demand, and then there was weak demand. And so when you have 100,000 households out of 500,000, you have a lot of opportunity to engage more stakeholders in arts and culture. So part of the survey was aspirational, and so we asked people, what should art do? And I'm really happy to report that you can see by this bar here that in very high percentages, people think that art should be well promoted, it should contribute to the positive image and reputation, it should create a positive sense of local community. What I found most interesting, and we have a lot of these characteristics, certainly not all, this is representative of all that we learned, but more than 50% said that tax dollars for funding arts was a high priority, and another 30% thought it was a priority. So that was interesting information for us. What's not on this chart is that there was a deep concern for arts education. 80% of those who responded to the survey felt that arts education should be going on during school, but also after school. Well, what we learned about those participating in the arts and culture is 61%, the majority of those who responded, said that they go to between 4 and 9 events per year. And of those events, you know, these are live events. They're paying for tickets. It's not all movies and festivals. And so that was, you know, 4 to 9 events is actually not bad. But, you know, you can see there was a slight percentage that was going to 10 or more activities. And of course, we'd like everybody in that category. This is a great question. We asked people, and they had to write the answer in, what activity do you enjoy most? Not do the most, but what do you enjoy the most? And live music and concerts quickly rose to the top, along with camping, fishing, and hunting, theater and musicals, movies and films. One thing that was not in the top 10 was visual arts. And that that was of concern to us. And we might go back and do what's called gap analysis and talk to participants about why that didn't make it into the top 10 list. On the other hand, a lot of festivals are actually about crafts and visual arts products. So it could be that there's more interest than we know. So the major findings, we have a wealth of cultural resources. We did scans on the web looking for websites of cultural providers. We found over 720 in the 6 counties that have websites about cultural offerings. The creative talent is an underutilized asset. We interviewed over 500 artists through a survey and focus groups, and the majority of them said that they're making a living, but it has nothing to do with their training as an artist. And so that is an underutilized talent. We're going to lose those people if we can't find more opportunities for them to be employed and working in the field which they were trained and where their passion is. The quality of opportunity could be stronger. This is kind of a nice way of saying that while the art was in many ways ranked as excellent by those who said, you know, what do you think of the cultural offerings you attend, as you looked through ethnic diversity, age, and education, it was judged to be less relevant to ethnically diverse populations, younger populations, and those with less education. So that's an opportunity for the arts and cultural providers to look at that and think about either their messaging or their programming to see if there's ways to attract these more diverse audiences. The other thing that really showed up very strongly, and I think Jeff will talk more about this, was that there's not the kind of intersections with other sectors for working on community goals that really could be in place, where arts and culture can actually further an agenda of the county executive or the master plan of a city to help revitalize a district or region. Entertainment and cultural infrastructure, okay to fragile. A third of those we surveyed said they had no marketing dollars, certainly no marketing staff. So all of their money is going into creating product, and then they cannot advertise their cultural offering, which means that if it's a paid-for event, that they're not earning the kind of revenue that they should. And this kind of imbalance cannot go on for very much longer. These organizations can't be sustained if that's not rectified. And then, of course, the cultural sector is undercapitalized, and I think a lot of people could talk to you about the state of their buildings or facilities in terms of just their infrastructure, as well as staff training and the staff training and being able to retain staff. This is from the scans. It just gives you an idea of what's going on in the counties. You can see by this graph that Onondaga County seems to have a lock on cultural organizations and agencies, while Cortland is the king of festivals, and Madison County is where a hotbed of activity for historical offerings. And that was just kind of interesting to learn as we figured out the supply side of what's in our region. We surveyed over 150 organizations, and this is what they said their top needs were: collaborative marketing, messaging, and promotion, tied with expanding organizational visibility both inside and outside of the six counties, and we'll talk more with Carol about that. Those really ranked as the top two, and that helped us to validate that our social marketing system that had been created through ideas really could benefit the region, because it has a calendar and a directory, and we raise the dollars to advertise that for stakeholders, many of whom don't have marketing funds. Artists, it was a little different. Artists talked about, in every county, talked primarily about networking opportunities with other artists. I think there's a real sense of isolation. They also are looking for promotional assistance and, in many cases, marketing. So you can see between the agencies and the individual artists, the arts agencies and the individual artists, that collaboration, marketing, and promotion are very much on their minds. So in conclusion, what we discovered is that we need to increase awareness of Central New York's cultural and creative assets. There was a big disconnect. People would tell us on the survey, I'm really interested in arts and culture. I think it is really easy to find out information about what's going on. And then you'd say, and what do you know about what's going on in your locality or region? I don't know very much. There's kind of a disconnect between what people think is available to even find the opportunities for them to participate and what they really know. And that came up over and over again. So focusing on the visibility is a huge part of this plan, and working on regional promotion, marketing, and cultural tourism is one of our first steps in the 10-year plan. Fortifying assets, looking for more grant dollars, advocating for increased funding to the organizations, but also looking to provide staff training to help retain staff and to build other kinds of wealth, a wealth of knowledge in the organization, so that people working there are well-trained to be able to cope with the various scenarios, often with reduced funding, that are put before them, and that they can find ways to create great ideas, but to implement them as well. Increasing opportunity and participation is, would be conversations with the arts organizations and cultural and heritage organizations to really look at non-traditional venues. You saw from that map, there's huge sections of very rural country. And a lot of times people in focus groups said, we have one car and two working parents. I come home, my spouse goes to work, I'm with the kids. We're not going into a cultural hub to participate in the arts as much as we would really like to. It's just that simple. Some people told us that a cable had come in and done a cost-benefit analysis and had not put up any towers, so they didn't really have TV. I mean, we believe it or not, we still have areas that are this rural in this terrain. So there's a non-traditional approach that could be looked at. And I think that also we need to work with the arts, culture, and heritage organizations on messaging. We also learned in the focus groups that a lot of people felt that there were barriers to them participating, where they weren't quite sure they were welcome, or they felt awkward participating. And that was often based on education or ethnic diversity. So it's a 10-year plan. And I'm just going to touch on these few things, and then I'm going to pass the things along. But we want to establish ourselves as really the trade association for these arts, culture, and heritage organizations, and really harness the power of all of these solo operations as an industry, because collectively we could have a much bigger voice than we have individually talking to the movers and shakers in the region. We want to, with the tourism sector, develop funding and legislation strategies to support regional entertainment and cultural marketing. And we want to forge alliances across the region to get things done. When we did that summit at the regional airport, we brought in the mayors and community planners from all of the counties. And they really helped to establish priorities and said, you know, these relationships would help us revitalize our main streets, keep our young people living in our community. We really see the need, but we have not worked as closely together as we could have. That is a big priority. And then, again, just building connectivity and collaboration within the cultural sector, which is really what they asked for, both as artists and the arts, culture, and heritage organizations. There's more of the action plan in the information that has been passed out, and you can see it here. Let's see. Or go to the website and see the entire plan and all the data. It was almost all overwhelming. And if you want to learn more about our calendar, you can go to the other address. Go to cnyarts.org to find out about the plan. Go to cnyarts.org. And so with that, I will turn the floor over to Carol Eaton from the Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me. Okay, good. How's that? Better? Okay. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I wanted to bring you up to speed on what some of you may have been following along in the media in recent weeks regarding our recent branding undertaking. And I can tell you that it was well over a year ago that the Convention and Visitors Bureau set off on a mission to brand our destination. It has been quite a road. I see a couple familiar, friendly faces out there who've helped us along the way. Our president, David Holder, who some of you have had the opportunity to hear talk about the branding process, he gave us kind of a heads up and reiterated to us that it's going to be a wild, crazy, fun ride with ups and downs and all that goes along with taking an open mind and looking wholeheartedly into your destination and being willing to work with what is uncovered. And for that, we were excited. So here we are, like I said, well over a year later. And part of that, when we first got started, was internally to take a look at some of the more iconic brands that are out there. Nashville, Music City, that one's kind of obvious, but we'll give it to them. Fredericksburg, Timeless. We kind of assume that they grabbed a hold of history and feel like they wanted to own it so they can have that. Austin, live music capital of the world. That one's very cool, very trendy, and very much works for them. And of course, who can forget what happens in Vegas? That one clearly has a multi-million dollar campaign behind it and stretches across the country and around the world, and good for them. But some of them, the bigger ones, seem to have lasted decades. Virginia's for Lovers, that one has been around for a long, long time. And some of the newer ones seem to have some power behind them that I think are going to have lasting powers. For example, Pure Michigan, that one has hit our airwaves quite heavily recently, and we respect them for that. Of course, in our world, the king of them all, the granddaddy of them all for us, which has sustained itself, reinvented itself, and honestly continues to build a sense of pride for all of us, is I Love New York. I Love New York was started over 40 years ago, and if you recall, I recall, it was the arts that launched that. There were voices like Lena Horne talking about Broadway in New York City, Tony Bennett. While it may have based itself out of New York City, it was the arts community that helped give rise to I Love New York. And here we are, all those years later, and I Love New York still, as I said, gives us all a sense of pride as they've moved that message upstate as well. So we realized that creating a brand that's true to our community's culture and believable for the consumer begins by peeling back an onion. So that's actually what we started to do. In partnership with a destination services organization that we contracted with, who had quite a reputation for helping to brand destinations, we set out on that journey. They came to Syracuse. Sometimes we knew they were here, sometimes we didn't. They held their process in a highly professional manner, and they interviewed three different sets, various intercept interviews throughout the course of 6 months. Those included stakeholders, those of us who are in this hospitality industry of ours, residents, and consumers, which in our case, consumers, of course, are visitors. From the stakeholder perspective, honestly, were it not for the cooperation and collaboration of CNY Arts and Engage CNY, we would never have had the opportunity to get that free-flowing information regarding the viewpoints and perspective of the arts in our community and in our culture here. Arts, culture, all across the region, it was captured, it was shared, and it led us, honestly, to realizing the importance of strengthening, Steve mentioned the disconnect, to strengthening that and building a cooperative calendar where people can go and see all of the arts options that are available to them. So that collective strength and positioning of the arts as a cultural product within the branding process, that was huge. So add to that the agency's conversations with our stakeholders regarding shopping, culinary experiences, special events, attractions, sports, our abundant outdoor beauty, not only with the stakeholders, but with our residents as well. And the team at the agency seemed almost overwhelmed. We always knew we had all this, but for them to come in from the outside with all their experience dealing with different communities across the country, we knew that they would help us tell our story. Now, I have to say that that second group of stakeholders, the residents, they have played a key role. It's no secret that we do have some cynics out there, some of whom, unfortunately, have passed those thoughts along generationally. But we understand that the louder voice of the residents was actually a newer faction of people who are pretty jazzed up about Syracuse. They're excited about this new urban vitality that's going on. They feel all this investment in a community which must be built on a certain ambassadorship that we're all feeling here. So that cool, incredible kind of juxtaposition of a growing urban center and an abundant outdoor beauty. Some of the most iconic destination brands in the world have been built around a sense of attitude. And we're going to roll with that attitude of this is one cool, jazzy place to be. So that's the engagement that we're going to capture from our local residents and take it with us as we continue through this process. But honestly, it was the interviews with the consumers, the visitors, that ultimately brought us to our brand positioning. Our visitors come here to experience what our residents enjoy every single day. That's our strength. It's our authentic character, our cultural arts, our cultural gems, those things that we sometimes take for granted here, our unmatched outdoor spaces. It's a place to connect, a place to reconnect with what matters to you, your family, your friends, whoever you may be traveling with. So honestly, it was our visitors. They helped us look through this lens of where people can share their passions. Our agency partner, who may have been originally approached by us to try to find that one calling card to brand Syracuse under, but the brands reside in the minds of our consumers, and our consumers told us that our strength is our diversity in what we have to offer. So the agency listened, we listened, and we're inviting our visitors to kind of personalize their visit when they come here. We give them this open slate, and it's up to them to fill it, because whatever it is that they like to do, whatever their passions are, we have a little piece of that here. You can combine it for a multi-day stay. You can make it an afternoon. But honestly, we know it's a great place to live, and now it's our job to tell the world that it's a great place to visit. So with that, this "Do Your Thing" tagline emerged. And up here we have what has turned into our brand positioning statement, or our branding promise. It's time to rally your passion. Find life's shining moments and celebrate them in a place where true colors never fade. A place where independent spirits and an energetic community come together in perfect harmony. Here is where you find your center. Reconnect the dots with the things that truly matter and make memories on historic streets. Do what makes you happy. Syracuse, do your thing. And that's where we're at with our branding process.
Okay. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here and talk a little bit about the arts in Central New York. And I want to begin with commending Steve and CNY Arts for conducting a really comprehensive audience and organizational study for our region. I think this is the first time this has been done at this scale, and it's, I think, going to prove to be a great value to not only cultural organizations in our region, but the population as a whole. I'm going to make a couple of comments on my reactions to the survey from the perspective of an arts manager in Central New York, and then give you some examples of how Syracuse Stage is utilizing some of this data on a day-to-day and operational basis. I think it's really encouraging that the research has indicated that culture in our region is highly appreciated, valued, and that there's a high participation rate. This didn't surprise me. I don't think it surprised Steve. He mentioned earlier there had been a previous study done through the Ideas Project that had also indicated high participation rate. And if you just look around our region, you will find an extraordinary number of cultural organizations for a population of this size. And so I think we've known that culture is valued in Central New York. What was discouraging, but again not surprising about the research, was the comment that Steve made about the infrastructure being okay to fragile, and the fact that the research also indicated that cultural groups in this region are undercapitalized. So we're struggling as a cultural sector in Central New York. Our financial picture isn't great. And as Steve mentioned, we're understaffed, and many organizations don't even have the funds to adequately market themselves. The struggles that we're facing here is not unique to Central New York. It's a national problem. I think every day I pick up the newspaper and read about some cultural organization struggling in this country. You know, recently the Metropolitan Opera went through a very contentious set of negotiations with their various unions and almost ceased operations and closed and canceled their season. A couple of years ago, the Philadelphia Orchestra declared bankruptcy. This is one of the leading orchestras in the world. The Atlanta Symphony has just stopped, and their season has been canceled because the union musicians and the management of the symphony cannot come to agreement over a contract. The San Jose Repertory Theater in California, which is a company the same size as Syracuse Stage and in many ways very similar to Syracuse Stage in sort of a programming and mission, abruptly closed this fall. They're out of business. And then closer to home here, Studio Arena, again a theater the same size as Syracuse Stage, a theater that actually Syracuse Stage used to collaborate with in terms of co-productions, they've disappeared 6 years ago and have not come back. And then, as we know, in our community, the Syracuse Symphony closed rather abruptly. So why is this going on? And I could talk to you about this all morning, but I'll give you a couple of quick observations. One, the performing arts are labor-intensive. Most of the money that we spend at Syracuse Stage goes towards people. And as you all know, people costs are expensive and they continue to rise. Ticket sales are down for just about everybody. And this is largely due to a significant decline in the number of people who have purchased season subscriptions. It used to be cultural organizations like mine, half of the seats were sold in advance through season subscriptions. Those numbers are that's no longer the case, and this is largely due to a change in lifestyles and people's reluctance to commit well in advance to events because they're busy and they don't know what their life is going to be and whether they're going to be called out of town at a moment's notice and that sort of thing. Funding for the arts is down, particularly at the government level and at the corporate level. And that's somewhat related to the economic challenges that we're facing in this country, and some of it is related to just a shift away from interest in supporting the arts from both of those sectors. And the fourth reason I would give is that cultural organizations, including my own, have been slow to respond to this. And we haven't been great about embracing change and thinking about how we reimagine ourselves and how we restructure ourselves given the economic climate that we're facing. So I would argue that what organizations in this region need to do to improve themselves is to rethink how they operate. I think perhaps the biggest challenge is for organizations to reimagine themselves not only as just cultural organizations, but as community organizations. And I think this is at the heart of what Steve's and CNY Arts' report is saying. So what do I mean by reimagining yourself as a community organization? I think you need to start to think about how you fit within the fabric of a community. Are there people that you're not reaching in your audience? Are there ways that you might be able to adjust your programming without changing your mission to reach those audiences? And are there ways that you can collaborate with other organizations, again, to go reach out and find the audience that you need to sustain yourself? And then I want to talk a little bit about the collaboration part of that. And the collaboration can be not only with cultural organizations, but with educational institutions, social service agencies, businesses, the political sector, and the tourism community. So here are a couple of quick examples of things that Stage is doing, but also the first one is something that the cultural community in Syracuse is doing. Since I got here about 6 years ago, I was pleased to find that there was already an association of cultural leaders in Syracuse that collectively advocated for government support for the arts. This is an organization called ACLA. And what ACLA does is instead of the Evers Center, Syracuse Stage, individually reaching out to elected officials, we collectively reach out to elected officials and make a case for why art support is important. We've been able to collect economic data on the value of the arts in this region. We've been able to collect audience data on the arts in this region. And it's been terrific to have a sort of uniform statement and voice to our elected officials. This particularly was helpful a couple of years ago when we all, many of us in Onondaga County received funding from the county. And there was a movement to eliminate support, including from my institution, and completely eliminate it. And we were able to collectively lobby state county legislators, and that led to a restoration of funds. And I'm pleased to say that right now, arts funding in Onondaga County has been stable. And I think that's largely due to the collective advocacy that we were all able to have and to make our case. At the state level, we haven't been as successful in terms of getting funds increased from the New York State Council on the Arts, but we have been successful in stopping the decline in support for NISCA funding, and we have been successful in getting, and Steve mentioned the Regional Economic Development Council, we've been able to get funds from the Regional Economic Development Council to cultural organizations in Central New York, and in some cases, rather large grants to those organizations. At Stage, we've partnered for years and have expanded the number of partnerships we do with community organizations. So we have a long, now I think it's about 6 years, partnership with Greg Tripoli at the Onondaga Historical Association. And they create, for a number of our productions, a lobby display that ties Syracuse history into our production. And that's been tremendously popular from our audience. And then Greg has been able to package these displays, and they've gone on tours of Central New York to other organizations as well. A couple of years ago, we helped Arc of Onondaga celebrate their 60th anniversary with a production of a wonderful play called The Boys Next Door, which is about a group home for developmentally disabled adults. And they, Arc, helped us with lobby displays and program material, and we did seminars and discussions in our theater, and most importantly, brought their audience, which is family members, to that production. And we saw hundreds of new people coming to see to Syracuse Stage. We do a lot of collaboration with Syracuse University because of our association with the university, but extends well beyond the drama department. We've also done projects with medical students at SUNY Upstate, and we're currently talking with SUNY Oswego about a project this year. These bring students, faculty, and staff to our door. Each year, we work with the Interreligious Council of Central New York through their program Community-Wide Dialogue to End Racism, and they bring a group to a play that connects with their mission, and this year it'll be the South African classic Sizwe Bonzi is Dead. All of us are part of a newly formed consortium of county tourism representatives, and I think we have maybe 6 or so counties that are part of this group, and we have been meeting to talk about how do we collectively market the region and how does culture fit within that marketing effort. Stage is a member of Syracuse First, and we partner with locally owned businesses and restaurants and hotels, and often exchange for pro bono services or discounts. These are just a few examples of sort of what I'm talking about in terms of the value of collaboration. It widens your audience, and most importantly, I think it builds advocates. It's far more powerful, I believe, for a representative from Arc of Onondaga or the Community-Wide Dialogue to End Racism or SUNY Oswego or a county tourism representative to say, go to see Syracuse Stage, than it is for Jeff Woodward to say that message. So,
thank you. Thank you. Again, I'm Barbara Bartlett, and I'm with Lorenzo State Historic Site. And Steve had asked me today to talk about collaborative marketing, and I'm going to, for the sake of time, briefly share with you some slides, but talk about two efforts. One is the Path Through History effort, and Greg Tripoli and Carol Eaton's colleague David Holder have been involved in that process, and also very briefly talk about the Cazenovia Arts and Heritage Alliance. And there are a number of issues that have come to the fore today, and many of them speak to the capacity building, to the capitalization, to the staffing, to the resources available and not available, to our providers of services around Central New York. And what's been very challenging for those of us who operate facilities, such as Jeff and myself, is that we face a number of challenges in raising dollars, et cetera. If you can't pull it up, it's not. Oh, you can. Very good. Carol, could you pass me the? Thank you. So, at any rate, the important thing for us to remember is that the Engage process has been such a wonderful source of information, wealth of data, to inform the number of groups out there, whether they're professional service organizations, such as the New York Cultural and Heritage Tourism Network, or our local TPAs, our tourist providers, those agencies, et cetera. So it's helped inform and provide data for us. Also, the Regional Economic Development Councils have been mentioned. And in Central New York, we cover a 5-county region that's Cayuga, Cortland, Madison, Onondaga, and Oswego counties. I love New York. The central region is very different, different boundaries. So we're dealing with different boundaries, different stakeholders. But the wonderful thing is the commonality of all of us who have a great interest in providing services for both cultural and heritage attractions across New York State to band together. And so with that, I'm going to briefly talk a little bit about the Path Through History program, which has been a very important program to the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo. And he has seen that through the Regional Economic Development Councils, through these 10 regional councils, that $1 million, $100,000 has been allocated to each of these regions to help with marketing. And the premise has been economic development. Tourism in New York State is a multi-billion dollar industry. And so how do we win the hearts and minds of the legislators and those individuals who are the decision makers to allocate dollars and it for the arts and for programming and for cultural and heritage attractions? It's how do we impact local economies? And so that has been the premise of this program. So very briefly, again with the interest of time, we don't seem to be going forward.
Pointing it at the laptop.
Sure. Yes, indeed. So what I wanted to briefly say is that in assessing our 5-county region, the governor appointed in Central New York a panel of 26 historians, academicians, museum and tourism professionals, preservationists, and planners to actually come up with what are those organizations that provide a service and programming and events throughout Central New York. And believe it or not, just for heritage organizations, just heritage organizations in that 5-county region, we have 84 organizations out there doing the daily work of providing programming, et cetera, and activities. So how do we bring those 84 groups together? And how do we collaboratively market for these groups? So what happened was this work group of 26 individuals came together to decide we have to come up with a hierarchy. Who are our primary sites, secondary, and tertiary sites? And we want to pay due homage to all of those levels, but we might have to concentrate, for instance, on those primary sites. Also, what are the common themes that bind these groups together? And they include innovation, social reform, cultures and ethnicity, settlement and expansion, military, architecture, landscape design, and sports heritage. So how do we, using those 7 major themes, come up with a collaborative marketing program? So with our $100,000, I will very briefly explain that we have a 4-prong process that we've put together. We have hired a consultant to help us brand this region. How do you brand these 5 counties who might not be identified in the same way that I Love New York identifies them? So we've decided really not to think about a logo per se, but how to use those 7 themes. The 7 themes have been our key. And so we have also joined with the Center State CEO in providing assistance for a tourist assistance portal system.
and David Holder perhaps has spoken to this group before about that. It's a project whereby in various venues across central New York, but starting in Syracuse as a hub, for these wonderful interactive devices to actually very actively engage and promote those 84 tourist attractions, specifically dealing with heritage in central New York. We've also joined together with PBS and NPR to have a very strategic marketing plan with working with both, with PBS, WPBS in Watertown, WCNY here in Syracuse, and also WRVO in Oswego. So through PSAs, through interstitials, through a wonderful 27-minute video that's being produced to talk about these five counties and those seven themes, we're hoping to get the word out more efficiently and effectively about our heritage destinations in central New York. And lastly, we're putting together a mobile website. And so that's all of those projects are now in process. So the Path Through History program has also been an initiative with I Love New York. So as you enter New York through the major thoroughfares like I-81, et cetera, and as you're on the thruway, you'll see that there's a whole new signage system. Again, working with a network of providing directives to these heritage sites across not only New York State, but within our region. So 84 sites in central New York. I'll briefly end with Cazenovia. With our Arts and Heritage Alliance, what's very important in terms of funding for us, we actually in Cazenovia, both the town and village, receive no municipal funding whatsoever. The county also gives no dollars for both arts and heritage programming other than to the County Historical Society. So in Cazenovia, we've brought 17 groups together in the town and the village. We like to think of ourselves as a very vibrant and dynamic rural community in Madison County. And so these groups have used the template, the Americans for the Arts, looking for data to show, very similarly what was shown in Onondaga County and here in Syracuse, that the arts have a direct economic impact on the local economy. And alone, just in Cazenovia, both the town and village, we found that we support these 17 organizations more than the equivalent of 220 jobs just in our town and village. So the impact has been great. We have had both the town and the village adopt resolutions to support what it is we're doing together, to band together, to not only do collective marketing, but also capacity building. So our next goal is to now get funding from both the town and the village. So with that, I'll end for the sake of time. And I know we're going to be entertaining questions. So.
You have time for one or two questions.
I'd like to talk from the standpoint of the people that come. One of the best ways that has been used in the past to get new people to come has been the library program, the lecture series, where they have invited kids from the high schools to attend who have written essays on it, so that there's already an interest that has been shown by the kids. They invite them free, they come. My question is, what do you think of that idea?
Do I take that, Jeff?
It's a great idea.
How do you implement
it? Are you finished? I wanted to know where you're promoting this calendar and how up to date it is. Last week, I spent 15 or 20 minutes looking through the weekend edition of the Post Standard. Couldn't find anything that we wanted to do for the weekend. So we entertained guests who suggested we go to Syracuse Stage, and we did on Tuesday night, and it's simply wonderful. But we need an up-to-date, complete calendar that's visible for everybody in the community.
So you're asking if the go to CNYarts.org is that place, and how is it promoted? Other than right here, right
now.
The go to CNY Arts calendar is promoted. For the past 2 years, we've raised $100,000 for advertising, and it's promoted through a lot of media outlets, WCNY, Syracuse New Times, Syracuse Newspapers, Syracuse.com. Right now, it's getting about, for a new calendar with a soft launch, it's literally barely over a year old, it's getting about 4,500 hits a month. Our goal is to get it to 10,000. And the important thing to know is it's a self-populating calendar. Right now, there's 500 organizations registered on it, organizations and individual artists. And we're doing our best with the advertising dollars that we get, again, through Empire State Development, to promote the calendar, to get the word out there. And part of building the networks of this engaged process is to get the stakeholders promoting the calendar to their audiences so that everyone is really aware of it. And it's new, and it's just a year old, and it's just getting underway. Thank you.
If I could add to that, too, if you go to visitsyracuse.org or visitsyracuse.com, that is the tourism site for Syracuse and Onondaga County. That events calendar, the CNY Arts calendar, it's a built-in cooperative effort that whatever's entered there is pushed over to visitsyracuse.org's events calendar. We also have a push mechanism in place for Onondaga County Parks. Whatever's on their calendar is pushed to ours, and the state fair as well. So clearly, we need to do a better job of promoting that.
Yes.
However, it is there, and it is a pretty robust, the arts and beyond, of what's going on in Syracuse.
In six counties.
Just a quick question for Steve. In one of your presentations, you talked about the activities most enjoyed, and I don't see museums anywhere on this list. Is that the visual arts thing that you said?
That's what I was talking. That came as a surprise to us. But that was a handwritten question. We actually had to tabulate everyone's results, and it didn't make the top 10. I don't think it was too further below, but that was a surprise to us. Visual arts, museums did not come up, and that's what I was talking about, doing gap analysis, going back with stakeholders and saying, trying to find out why, because it seems like there's maybe more of a particular need there.
I think that what Ed Sales has created in Auburn is exciting, and I'm surprised not to hear anything about that.
Our study was of the counties that we serve, and for whatever reason, even though Cayuga County borders on Onondaga County, our service footprint is Herkimer, Madison, Oneida, Oswego, Onondaga, and Cortland. So we actually, when we applied for the Regional Economic Development Council grant, we could only apply to assess the six counties that we serve for the state. In our second year of going into Red Sea for funding, we specifically named Cayuga County, and we actually, much as we pushed data to the CVB calendar, we actually, with the City of Auburn, there's an arts consortium, they now use our calendar, we push data back onto their calendar, and we are advertising in Auburn. But Ed Sales and the Merry-Go-Round Theater and the Musical Theater Festival, brilliant ideas, were unfortunately not part of our study because of the constraints.
If I may briefly add, Cayuga is part of the Path Through History program, and in fact, the City of Auburn has a very vibrant role within our whole PATH program. Also, the City of Auburn was the model in part for Cazenovia for our Cultural and Arts Heritage Alliance in terms of what they were able to do working with their local TPA, their Cayuga County Tourism. So you're indeed right. Cayuga is a county, and Auburn in particular, are great models.
Carol, when are we going to see the push out of the new branding campaign?
The sooner the better.
The sooner the better.
Yes. This year or next year? We've actually just completed an RFP process to secure an agency to help us purchase the media, the PR. There'll be video production, radio, billboard. And we're narrowed it down to two right now. And some of you may have seen some very, very first round preliminary drafts of a logo. That logo is not, in fact, the final version. It was simply to show a progress and update on how things are coming. So we hope to launch before the end of the year. Keep in mind that much of our launch will be out of town. Much of our target market is Ontario and those communities within a two-hour drive to encourage an overnight stay.
Okay, great. Steve Butler, Carol Eaton, Jeff Woodward, Barb Bartlett, thank you so much for joining us today.